Good morning. It's good to see you. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Good. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning, for leading us in praises and worship to you, declarations of truth that without which we wouldn't be where we are today. We thank you for that. And we pray that you'll give us more understanding, especially revelation that we need about who we are and what you want of us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I am grateful that Josh opened up the meeting with a prayer that recovered the fact that our salvation, what was purchased at the cross by Jesus, is so important. We always need to be reminded of that. But here again, salvation that began at the cross is the beginning for the rest of the salvation that we are to experience. It's only the beginning. He redeemed us in order to conclude the work that he had in his mind from eternity. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to kind of be brief this morning to lay some truths out to you, and then we will work on that some more the following week, okay? So, we can call what I'm going to share with you spiritual insights, because insight is very important. God gives us insight to see into things that are not always clear or that we don't even know. And I praise God that he gives that to me, not exclusively. Nobody is exclusive, but there are purpose for all of us. And oftentimes, apostolic and prophetic people get the initial insights of what God wants to do. As it says in Amos 3 and verse 7, God doesn't do anything but what he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. There is a way that God works whereby he declares his intentions to his body through certain ministries, who then disseminate that truth to the rest of the body. You follow that? And that has been historically the way God works, and he's not going to change that. So let's go, first of all, this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at a verse that we've looked at many times. We're going to look at it again, because it's not just a scripture, it's a prayer. And this is a prayer that we need. We need it desperately. We need the work of it in our lives. Verse 17 says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the perception or the understanding of your mind may be enlightened so that you might know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints. Josh's prayer this morning included the inheritance we have. Do you know that when Jesus died, he, like all humans understand, had a will. A will was full of promises from Abraham all the way up to him. Blessings. And when he died, the will was revealed. And the inheritance of Jesus Christ came to us. We are joint heirs with him because he lives again. So all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. We could talk about that some more this morning, but the goal was not to just speak about that. But you have to understand, the inheritance that we have is a divine inheritance that includes every promise that God ever made to Abraham that was fulfilled in Jesus, which comes to us. It's amazing truth. But the spirit of revelation is a spirit of inward perception and insight and understanding. So many times we have, and I think that you can say amen to this, read scripture verses and you gave acknowledge to them. You said, yes, I know that's true. Thank you, Jesus. And then later on, read the same scripture and said, wow, it blew open on you. Something happened. Some deeper understanding. a knowledge and a revelation of that truth that exceeded what you knew prior. Has that ever happened to you? It has, hasn't it? That is a process of the Holy Spirit. Who gives you revelation? The Holy Spirit. Always the Holy Spirit. And without Him, we are bankrupt. We need His leading and guiding of all truth to make Scripture alive. Because the letter of the law will kill, but the Spirit brings life to it. He is the author of it. And without Him, we become hard. Hard and religious and controlling and structured. But when the Spirit comes, there's life to that word. All right. So here are some things that God is sharing with me that I will share with you. First of all, I want to speak about the condition of the church. We know that a lot of things have happened to the church in the last, I don't know how many years, but especially since COVID and all the societal changes and the emphasis on control of people, especially control of the church, which is our First Amendment right, the freedom of religion. But there are other factors that have affected the church, which today is dull overall. I don't speak to you alone like I'm accusing you. I'm saying that the church overall is dull and impotent, and people are leaving it in droves. They don't find it important, relevant, inspiring, energizing, hopeful. They're tired of it, worn out by it, and giving up. Why? Because we have fallen into a rut, a religious structure. And after a while, people get tired of that. They get bored. Become indifferent. They become passive. They even become a bit hopeless. Like, come on, is that all there is? Years and years ago, there was a singer, a torch singer by the name of Peggy Lee. And she used to sing a song, "Is That All There Is?" Is that all there is? She says, well, if that's all there is, let's just keep dancing. Let's find some other sort of entertainment and excitement and thrill for our lives. And that's what happens with religion if after a while it isn't broken. The bonds of religious activity, structure, repetition, over and over. How many times can we come to church, sit in the aisles, the pews, the seats, hear a message and then feel liberated, excited, blessed, and want to go out and whatever? We can't continue to do that. You need more. We need more. We're going to get more. There is a dullness that has come upon the church, and it has lost its power. And the world looks at it and says, who needs it? They don't show me anything. I'm not that interested in them. They're no different than we are. They act like us even. Am I being honest with you or not? Yeah, I hope so. I hope we are coming to see. You may find me, may disagree with this. It doesn't matter to me. I know what God has told me. He said He's got to bring life back into the church. There needs to be a recovery, a restoration. Newness of life in Christ Jesus has got to come with us. I loved all the songs that we sang this morning. They are essential because they speak about our salvation and the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ who saved us. But those are beginning stages of our salvation, not the final state of our salvation. How long can we stay in kindergarten? Kindergarten is essential. If you don't have it, you can't go to first grade. Foundations to our lives are absolutely important. If the foundation is destroyed, what happens? So our initial salvation truths, we can never, ever get beyond the truth of them. They are essential, but they are the foundation of the rest of our salvation, not the end of it. And if it's the end of it, then let's keep dancing. You need more. You were born for more. God created you for more. You are entitled for more. You are destined for more. But if you don't know how to get more, you won't get any more. I appreciate your faithfulness. Some of you are the most faithful saints. I'm speaking about you, this congregation, but I know this is true throughout the entire world. Some of you are the most faithful people God has ever had as his children. Consistent, just faithful. You are pillars, and I thank God for you. And sometimes you are pillars in spite of the fact that you're longing for more. You're longing for more. We are not going to remain in this condition, neither this congregation or any congregation. God is going to be doing something wonderful with us. Second point I want to share with you is this. Everyone longs for purpose, and that purpose must be found. Because God created us for purpose. The first thing he told Adam and Eve is that, here, you got some work to do. Here are things that you're going to do. You're going to take care of this garden. So purpose is important to people. If you do not find purpose in the body of Christ, you'll look for it elsewhere. Because you were made for purpose. And that's what's happening with people. There's two directions that people go if they don't find the purpose of God in the body of Christ. And I'm going to be using that term very much. Two things that they do. If they cannot find the purpose that is given to them through the directions and the guidance and the ministry of God's servants and the Holy Spirit, they will attempt to produce their own in the church. That's why we have wrong ministries, people who force themselves into situations that God didn't call them to. They'd go places and do things that they were not authorized to do, but they do it in the name of the Lord anyway. Here's a tip. If God doesn't birth it, it ain't worth it. And there's a lot of works that are going on in the name of the Lord that are done because people are just anxious to be something. They have to have purpose. The other direction is back out into the world because they can find some purpose there, regardless of what type of purpose it is. Everybody needs purpose, and it must be fulfilled. Otherwise, dullness, apathy, impotence comes upon the church because people like you can't find purpose. We're going to find our purposes. After all these years, we've gone through many stages. I look back in the history of the church, and God has used this church as a forerunner church, an example to break open into the larger region things that he wanted done. This church was probably the first real powerful charismatic church in Connecticut. Not alone, but one of the very first. And we had throngs of people coming because there were two things. They knew the presence of God and that there was something exciting about the purposes that God was revealing through the body. And when there ain't no action, you know, people will come to see a man on fire. They'll come to see a church on fire. They want to be a part of that. Third thing. All advances in the history of the church are by revelation. If we go back into the very beginnings of the church, the first 200-300 years, it did pretty good on its own, but it faced a lot of struggles. There were all types of assaults to change it, to control it, to manipulate it. There was power struggles. And ultimately, the church became more political than it was spiritual. Rome took it over, organized it, controlled it, and for hundreds of years, dumbed it down, let's say, and kept people from truth until there was a Reformation. Well, the Reformation started with revelation. Revelation came to Martin Luther. Everything has come by revelation. The charismatic movement came by revelation. The healing movement came by revelation. When people saw the scripture and said, why aren't we that? How come we're not that? And the Holy Spirit birthed life and illumination in these people, and they became the carriers of that revelation. boom, the Holy Spirit anointed it and it began to take off. So we have come through a recovery time where the fivefold ministry has been restored. But I say this in all humility. I don't believe, and that would have included me, we have all the revelation of what the fivefold ministry is to do. And I would say most importantly, the apostles and prophets of today need to know what it is that God wants done. They must be clear. They can't make up their own purposes. They must know God's purpose. Purpose is never what you want to do. It's what God wants to do in you and through you. The point I want to make is this too. We will never be what we cannot see. Say it. Say it. If you cannot see it, you cannot be it. This is a human process. When I was a young man playing sports, particularly basketball, I ran endless scenarios in my mind of shooting, dribbling, passing, jumping, rebounding, scoring baskets over and over. My mind saw them over and over and over and over and over until what I saw I could do in reality. If you do not see what you can be, you won't be it. You'll look for something else. Now, I know I probably got to the point where you think, well, tell me what that is so I can start. I will in time. First and foremost, we have to get these root truths down into us that what God is going to do, he's going to open up truth that's been here. We've read about it. We've even referred to it. We've used phrases, but we haven't been it. We haven't been it. We haven't been some of what is here. And so what God does is he comes like this. He said, here, look at here. Boom, revelation. This is what you are. Now I'm going to empower you to do it. And you, I know you say, well, what is it? What is it? Well, I'll give you a sneak peek. First of all, it is individual, because everybody wants to know, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What's my purpose? And it's corporate. But the individual can never be off and apart from the corporate. You don't get a ministry and take off and do a ministry and expect people to support you, which is really what's happening a lot today. Whatever God has intended for you, he wants it done in the body, because the body is the apple of his eye. And I'll advance on that. I'll amplify that in further weeks, okay? If you go back there to that board that says mission and vision, there are things that refer to what we are. It talks about the fact that we are God's family, we are his temple, we are the army of God, we will be the bride. But the one that God is putting his finger on today is his body. His body. His body. I'm grateful that we're the family of God, because that tells us about our origin and our Father. The temple, we know that God dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. We know we're the army because we are involved in spiritual warfare. All these things are true. We know we're going to be the bride someday, but the body is key to all of that. We are called into one body. And I will advance on that next time, okay? But we must see what we can be before we can be it. And the scriptures are going to become clearer to you about your purposes. I'm going to talk about what are the troubles that we're going to encounter. Because change is not easy. You might say, well, I'm ready for something new. But when that newness begins to be developed in front of you, we are going to find our flesh may not like that so much. We had different ideas. Do you know all of us have an idea of what church should be? All of us do. It should be this way, it should be that way. He should do this, they should do that. We should come do it. We all have it. It's a mindset, a paradigm. it becomes part of us after a while. It's developed. And when that mindset is challenged, it's not easy, because this is the way we thought things should be. We might clamor for change or want purpose, but purpose is going to put an end to some things. Change will eliminate some things. We'll move on to other things, newer things. And we have to be willing to accept that. When we aren't willing to change, we do not grow. Growth is change. Change is growth. My grandson, Abraham, is, I don't know what percentage Samoan he is, but he's Samoan, and he's big. And we think he grew an inch while he was at the house. He changed in front of us. Growth is change. Change brings growth. We have to be willing to accept it, but here are the things that we'll struggle with. Our flesh. The spirit and the flesh are always in contention. That has been from the beginning. It will always be there until we learn to let Holy Spirit rule our flesh. That's why Jesus said you have to take up your cross every day. You don't crucify the spirit. You crucify the flesh. Anyway, history proves it. And Jesus provided us with ample understanding. He said, look, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Both of them are going to be destroyed. And that is a process that happens in the recovery, restoration that God is doing in the church. You might think, well, why is it that way? Because that's the way God outlined it. We might get all the blueprints, but we don't understand them all. We might have all the capability, but it isn't manifesting. Do you follow these things? This is so helpful to us to understand. We have not arrived. We are not perfect, but the perfected one is in us. And we're in the process of being perfected. All the way out to the end of your life, God is going to be working in you and me. I'm grateful for that, if we let him. So, the spirit will encounter opposition in the form of our flesh, who wants its own thing. Here are the two categories that I would say flesh wants. First one I already touched on, that is thoughts on religion and church. It's always been that way. That's the way it should be. There isn't a better way. It worked okay up to this point. Even in spite of our longing for change, there's this inward struggle too. And mainly it will come through leadership. Because leaders, unfortunately, a lot of them like to remain in control. And as long as they have a structure they can work with, they can be in control. But God wants to burst their wineskins too. And the other part is personal ambition and carnal desires. Personal ambition will take what God is beginning to reveal and turn it into their own personal ambition for their destiny. Like right now, and I'm sorry to say this, but here's the truth. When the prophetic movement started in the 80s, all of a sudden, people who were pastors wanted to be prophets. You can't move from one to the other. You can't all but one day be a pastor and the next day be a prophet. You either are what God called you to be or you can't be anything else. It's a gifting of Christ. He didn't change the gifting. He said, I'll take the pastor. I don't want, here, take the, no, he didn't do that. And the same thing is happening today in the apostolic, and it is dangerous. Because you have people who think that they have moved in a hierarchical position from evangelist to apostle. There are no hierarchical positions. They're all servants doing different things. Ambition is in the heart of man. To rise above his fellow man, to be important, to be recognized, to be honored, to be esteemed, all of that is in us. Until humility works it out of us. And God will find a way to do that. If we don't humble ourselves, he'll find ways to humble us. Why? For our own good. Because he cannot use the proud. It's impossible. So I'm going to leave you with this morning. And by God's grace, he'll help me. develop this some more for next week, and we'll go over some of this again so that the whole body can get up to speed, okay? Thank you, Father. May we come to realize that you have eternal purposes that were foreordained, and all of them are in Christ, and all of us who are in Christ will experience them. And that you have called us into one body, and that what you have determined for the body is beyond what we have seen up to this point. We have ideas, we have thoughts, we have imaginations, we have a lot of things. But we pray, God, you will show us your thing, what you want us to see. And when we see what you want, we can be what you want. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, saints. Love you. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend.